Get the recorder work in here. Okay, it's 5:30. I'll bring the work session to order for Mr. Schmidt, our sole citizen in attendance currently. Let's see.
This is Rowan.
Oh. Yeah. We're just the butt of the jokes this week.
All right.
First item on the work session, we're going to quickly cover speed cameras and flock safety.
The flock cameras, thanks to...
So the first thing we have, these are from Custom Signals, and these are the ones that the village has. They're on state contract, shipped to us. They are about $3,700. They're about $3,530 for the unit and about $160 shipping. Then we would install them. My idea on these would be we would use these to move around the town because they also do collect data. So they will tell you time of, you know, speed, that
are
kind of information.
On a cart or are they mounted on a pole?
You'd mount them on a pole.
Okay.
Right. So that's where the idea would be we could move these around the community for where people are complaining about speeding. And, you know, the long pole would be...
What do we do on areas like Jeff's neighborhood with no telephone poles? Can they mount?
Put them on a street light.
What's that?
We could put them on a street light.
Well, okay, that works. Or do you put them on a signpost? Could you mount them on like a regular?
Sure. Signpost? Yeah, you can mount them any which way. Okay. You know, they have brackets.
A signpost works.
Like a square tube signpost.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
They have solar panels.
Yes, they have a solar panel, so you'd probably have to have a little more solid post.
Yeah, well, you have to have some kind of lift too, maybe to install. Because I think you want to put them high enough that
they're gonna.
The right. ones in the village too, I think they tap into the power somehow.
No,
I think they're solar,
or they just have a battery that runs for a couple days, and they buy a couple batteries to recharge. So, you know, if we do have money left in like the building's budget that we could move to traffic controls. You know, like I said, these are about $3,700 delivered to us. It's a state contract, so we don't have to worry about any bids.
Do you have a number that you're considering?
Well, I didn't know where the board, you know, I was thinking probably one or two, you know, to at least give us the opportunity.
But this isn't the flock one, though.
No, this is not.
Yeah.
But the flock camera system would not be like a speed sensor.
I get that.
The flock camera is like plate reader or camera IDing system. That's something totally separate. This is for, you know, when people call and say, hey, we're on this road, there's speeding.
I would get two to start with.
I would get at least two to start
with. Yeah, minimum two.
I mean, we've already had two different neighborhoods come in.
Over the years, every neighborhood come in at some point.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Radisson.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Radisson has their own. They have their own unit. They have a vehicle. Like when people have called us about speeding, I let Lynn know, and they move their unit.
There's
over
someone on Doyle that has theirs.
Yeah, you shut it off. So, if the board's okay with it, I mean, I think it's something we need.
Yeah, I like the flock though. I'm very interested in the flock camera.
Yeah, and Chief Laffincheck, they've been very happy with what they've got so far.
I'm fine with it. I think it's a good idea. Yeah. And I think it'll help ease people's minds.
So my only comment on, I'm totally supportive, get to, I think wherever we put them, they're going to stay. People would be upset if we took them down, I think. So I think we have to keep it in our minds that wherever they're going to go, they're likely going to stay where they go. So we may end up buying more of these over time. I mean,
yeah,
if you all feel comfortable about moving it, I bet you if the one that's taken down where, on 48, that's there, someone's going to complain. Well, why'd you take the speed thing down? That was helping.
Right.
So I'm just suggesting to us, they may be movable, but I think they're going to be semi-permanent. And that's fine. Buy more of them. So
you want to start with two and get the process rolling?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, Mrs. Rowe. You're a little late, but that's okay.
Well, I have a new car I just got.
Oh, that's right.
I have to figure out how to turn it on. How to get it
okay.
Drive,
yeah, that's my other tomorrow job.
In the house tomorrow.
You're right.
To figure out my car.
Yep.
I just got a new
I shouldn't have asked.
I need to get here and get home.
Oh,
do you,
okay.
I don't like the fact it won't let me dim my light.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to add that to the agenda, and do you have to?
No, we don't have to add it because we have funds available. I mean, we'll make a budget modification to move it over to traffic control devices, but, you know, and then we'll get that set up. On a side note, I had reached out to the school district and to the county. We had a resident that lives off of Hicks Road now that the county has paved Hicks and Hayes or River Road in that area. The speeds picked up tremendously on Hicks with Palmer School. So I reached out to the county because they were asking about like a school, a flashing sign to let people know. And I have no idea in that regard because it's a county road. So I reached out to the county DOT to look into that. And I did have a conversation with Superintendent DeBarbary about Palmer with the parking after school, people picking their kids up in the afternoon, a lot of parking on Hicks Road. It becomes a tough situation in the winter and even, you know,
events
in good
that
weather.
They have on
yes.
too.
So they have a plan of changing the bus circle
right,
and
yeah.
how parking, and I had suggested to them about maybe looking at having a secondary entrance or exit to River Road to
in
allow
the back.
Them. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So he said they hadn't thought of that, but they're definitely gonna look into it. They feel that it's gonna help with Ray with Route 48. The other item on the speed camera idea.
How is that going to help with Ray at Route 48?
No, it helps it.
Oh,
it keeps
okay.
the traffic because the same thing happens on Van Buren Road.
Oh, okay.
At 2
yeah,
o'clock
they,
in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Everybody lines up on the side of the road. You got kids.
So they have one,
across
then
the
they
street.
Can do a one way in and one
yes.
way out. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, I got you.
So, the other item, flock safety. I've had a couple conversations with flock safety. For those who don't know, flock has the technology. They have license plate readers. They also sell individual cameras that are separate from the license plate readers. Each unit, so the license plate reader is $3,000. The camera is $3,000. That is an annual fee. Now, you get all of the data, and you can share that data with the county sheriff's department or whoever you choose to share it with. Flock has probably the most robust coverage in the eastern part of the states. The presentation he gave me, they have a couple thousand cameras in the state of Ohio. They have 7,000 cameras in Georgia. They have about 700 cameras in New York State. For those who don't know, the license plate reader, a vehicle drives by, it picks up the license plate. Deputy White had suggested this to me after our meeting last month.
Because of all the stolen cars that are
right.
in Lysand. A lot
or,
of people's cars are being stolen over the years.
And not only that, someone gets a plate of a car that was part of an issue or it gets put into the system. Every time that plate crosses a flock camera, it picks up, it'll ding a notification to, you know, police departments. So, as I was getting on this week to talk to him about pricing and getting, you know, it's all exploratory because this would be a very expensive system. I was informed by our code officer that the night before, property was broken into and construction equipment, contractor's tools were stolen off of 370. The guy had a trail camera. He got a picture of a license plate, and it was obviously a real-time camera. It was like 10:30 at night. Called in the plate number, and I believe by 11:30, they had the suspect apprehended with the stolen property in Salina. Because a flock camera hit in Salina, and they pulled the car over, still had the property inside it. So, you know, in a town or a municipality that doesn't have a police force to be able to give that assistance, right when you think about if you had a person, what could you do with one person, you know? So flock is looking at no cost to the town. They will look at the town and give you an idea of what they think would be good areas. I've told them where the highways are and what the common thoroughfares are. The sales rep we're working with is out of Buffalo, and they will come back with information on, well, geez, this is what we think would be a good setup. But as I said, the $6,000, if you were, each unit is $3,000 a year. That covers all maintenance and repairs on the units. So you never really own the unit.
So it's more of a rental.
Right.
Which is good. If it breaks, they replace it.
Yes. Any issues, they will come out. That's part of the cost. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the large cost up front. Data storage, it's all yours. You can do it, and you can choose who you share that with. Mm-hmm. Now, they are also, this is not just a municipal system. They sell, school district uses Flock, sheriff's department has, uses Flock. This is something that overall, countywide, area-wide, it would probably be beneficial to start looking into something that I know would be an additional cost to the budget, but I think it would start providing dividends on the public safety part, without diving into having people on, actual people.
Sounds good. How does the data, so I guess the only question I have is anybody with a login, can request data. And because it's a network, so like the sheriff department has their own login, their login will give them access to our computer, our cameras as well. So like
right.
If it's 11 o'clock at night, if somebody calls something in, they'll be able to access it without our involvement. Is that what I'm?
I haven't got that far with his discussions. I would assume that would go into the opportunity to share. If you would allow them outside or if they enter it. Yeah, I haven't.
So we didn't have to have somebody
right, yeah.
on hand to share. Right.
Directly to share.
Yes.
Yeah, I did some research on it as well, too. My understanding is they would have their own username and password and be able to log in that way to view it.
Okay.
Yeah, like if we shared the data, they would probably be able to real time.
Yeah. Real time back to them.
You guys post, hey, we're looking for this plate number. That was last seen here. Will the system notify you if that plate goes by?
Better yet, it'll send you a notification. Well, for that plate number, you can search it. You can search the plate number. And if you don't have the plate number, you can search vehicle features. And it'll send you pictures of everything with the vehicle on it.
Oh, that's
what
cool.
What time it went by, what direction it was going. And if it's a stolen vehicle, it'll alert you. It'll send me, you have to sign up for it, and it'll send me an email to my work email. So I'll get a notification real time. I'll pull up my phone, my personal phone, and I'll look at it, and I'll say, oh, stolen vehicle going westbound on 370 past the burned area, whatever. They'll tell me the exact location.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all linked network.
You don't have to have somebody sending the data.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think on your side, on the administrative side, you have to
allow access.
People to do it. And then on my side, I can pick which cameras I want to alert me.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mr. Schmidt?
So there's a lot of questions about data privacy and intrusion and privacy and things like that. How long do you keep the data? I think there's a really long discussion that has to be had for this before we go forward. For instance, I was reading an article where some insurance companies had gotten a hold of data and changed people's rates because of that, and that wasn't the intent. The municipality shared it with the state, and then someone in the state office actually downloaded it and sent it to a...
Sent it, right.
So there's issues there. I think New Hampshire has set it up so that it only resides on their servers for 3 minutes, which is kind of extreme, but all they
right.
do is they're saying, I'm looking for this car. If I don't find it, I'm getting rid of the data. And obviously, if there were a particular car you're looking for, you can keep that. But just in general, the data collection.
Sure.
The other thing that came up was, I guess someone in the city of Syracuse pushed the wrong button and shared the data with the world. It took like 4.4 million searches on Syracuse residents who had gone by the Syracuse cameras that, like people from Russia were checking and just crazy things. So there's a whole privacy side to this.
There's sure.
No privacy on public property, though. You got to keep that in mind.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Yes, there should be.
There's a little big brother.
Yeah. There's always a big brother watching.
Yeah.
Tell I wasn't where I was supposed to be.
Right. Yeah. Yes, and that's, no, that's all valid concerns. And as this has just been solely exploratory, it's, you know, they're going to work on what they would think would be a good coverage for the town, and then we'll probably have a presentation by the sales rep, you know, to show us, you know, what the, and those, I have not asked those questions yet.
And so. I honestly think it's probably a good system to have, but I think before we get it, we have to set some ground rules and guidelines.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be the one to accidentally send everybody's license plate information out to the world.
Where you were at 2 a.m.
Right. Everybody will know. I mean,
days ago.
I mean, the one thing, talking about that in Georgia, you know, he showed me the coverage in Georgia, and he said there is literally no place in Georgia you can drive on a major, on a main road without being picked up by a camera. Now, I mean, Georgia has a lot more, they have a lot of other issues that we don't deal with in New York State, but.
7,000 people like that.
So, you know.
When you think about the miles of road in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, but you look at a coverage map and you see how, you know, you got to go through certain areas.
I was just saying, Georgia, you know, you ever been on Peachtree? You know how long that road is? Maybe 25 miles, Peachtree, over.
So we will. I'll get more information on that. You know, this was, I had reached out to him, you know, we're coming into budget season to get an idea. I should have more at the September 4th meeting to, you know, maybe put a bullet in on the budget of, you know, what we, an idea.
Maybe it's a ramp-up thing, too. You know, you don't
no,
put the
right.
Network in one
yes.
year, you put it in.
See how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Put it in five the next year or something.
Yeah. So, those were the items. Mr. Merrill, I know you've got a couple things on the agenda, and
yes.
With the public hearings, you probably might not stay, and I don't blame you, depending on. Right.
Come on, Kevin.
Be a team player, Kevin.
You
want to
sit and join us this evening?
So you can explain the couple
so,
motions.
A week ago Monday, Annika had spoken to me about resigning. So she had some of it was due to financial reasons, but she had also decided that she wanted to go to nursing school.
Sure.
So,
yeah, that's fine.
We had so I went to the I checked the availability and spoke with the next.
And just so everybody knows, you and Counselor Gerasi had performed, you know, we had to go through the civil service part because there was a list, and then you and Counselor Gerasi, right, we exhausted it, we interviewed. Yeah.
There was no longer a list that was active.
Right.
So I confirmed that with civil service. We didn't have to go through a civil service search again. So that allowed me to go right back to the individuals that we interviewed. I went back to the next best one on the list, who was a really good candidate, as well as Annika was, and it was really a toss-up between the two. So I spoke with her, and she was available, and brought her in, and we just discussed what the availability was, and she was interested. So. Made an offer to her, and that's Carter Smith.
Very good.
So
Carter is a female.
Yes.
Excellent. And then the Annals Angel Special Event License, it's all set. It's, I mean, this has been going on for a few years now, so.
Unfortunate.
Four or five, I think it is. So they think that this might be their last year for whatever reason. So.
Oh.
But yeah. Pretty
yep.
Simple with them. Just constantly meet their event license and they get together the sheriff they need for traffic control and their insurance is all
this is
what it is,
great.
Satisfying our requirements. So
great. Does anybody have any questions? Or?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Merrill. You don't, you can stick around for the rest of the work session if you want.
Well, I mean, just as far as like a department report or whatever, the parking lot, we're just waiting to have some, well, actually, a little over a week ago.
Yes, it was almost 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Tractor trailer pulled into the Spence lot, as far as all of our new freshly oiled and stone parking lot, and sat there and caused some damage. So,
yeah.
Waiting for highway to the, I talked to John about doing some repair of that, and then sweeping the lot. As soon as we're swept, we're, Al and I are ready to schedule striping of the lot. So then that, and then probably early, before we really roll into spring next year, I'll have all brand new signage put up as well. So,
are we going to oversee the striping this time, Al, someone, so that way it's done properly?
We'll get it professionally striped.
One way?
We're going to get it professionally striped.
Okay, good.
Just depends which way you read it.
But you know how many people that drove by there that didn't know that it was there? That's the sad thing.
Listen, we got a lot of traction on social media. If you're of the thought that any
I don't read
any advertises good advertising, there was a lot of advertising.
I mean, the parking lot is done. Al and I just met and measured out some field for some field repair, just to keep all the fields in good condition. So we'll work with Casanella to do that. That's something we've already had in the budget. We have registration still open for B Fast Track and Field, which is coming up first Sunday in September. And then registration is out and open for a Halloween window painting. People are already looking for that. So, and then we've got information out. We collaborate with Orange and Olive on Spooky Hollow Fest. And so we've got promotion that's started to go out for that. A lot more of that comes from Orange and Olive, but that's coming up as well in early October. So, that's about it.
Great. Thank you. We appreciate it. And I'll mention here that the Pop Warner this weekend's doing their kickoff Saturday afternoon. They're doing a work with the
high school. Well, their kickoff is
Sunday,
right, with a full game schedule. Saturday they coordinated with
the high school team,
football,
yep,
team, and their booster club to do kind of an open varsity practice, and so they can interact with the Pop Warner kids and the families.
Yeah. So that's going on this weekend also, yeah, over at the park. Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Okay. If there's the only other things I got left are Melvin Farms and the proposed code changes to give the board an opportunity if we wanted to bang things off. The engineer, Al, are the developers coming tonight? Okay. So
they are?
Just Mark, I don't believe
Okay.
So when do you want to go over these with
them? We can start discussing them now. Do you want to do Melvin Farms or first off, does anybody have any questions on the code changes? Because I'm sure Melvin Farms is a little more.
Are these the code changes right here?
That's just the Cliff's notes on the planning boards. County planning, that's pretty much what they said when you read through the two pages. Our planning board and our zoning board. But we haven't changed anything in the actual code changes. The biggest thing we would talk about is the fee. The fee change, the per acre fee. So, but if we wanted to, we could hit that now. I had actually talked to the town and we'll go through the proposed code changes because those are pretty quick.
Okay.
Jack's not here. Usually he shows up. I had thought the proposed code change, the one thing the planning board had said was they wanted to up the fee of $500 per acre, which is what we usually have for a subdivision fee, and in lieu of parks, right? That's where they came up with that. They wanted to move it up to $1,000 to $3,000. Now, I thought they wanted to tie it to prime soils. I think after reading the minutes, they were leaving a range of $1,000 to $3,000 an acre.
That's
what it sounded like. Yeah. So when I was talking to the town attorney yesterday,
if we had a range that was, for example, tied to soil condition, prime soils, and we had a requirement that you have them tested independently, and whatever that came back, that would be the per acre fee. It's kind of an independent, non-arbitrary, non-capricious decision. If we just leave it to somebody in the town to say, I think the soils are really good there, or I think they're not so good, or they're medium, you always run the risk of inviting turmoil or litigation over that issue. So my advice would be, it's not that you can't have a range, but if you're going to have a range, it should be tied to a discernible...
Something measurable.
A measurable characteristic.
But if it's good soil, no one wants to farm it. What good is the soil?
Well, I mean, that's a whole different point.
Right.
My point is, though, if you're going to put a range in, Al, I mean,
I recommended, so this was a $500 fee for me, and I thought that it would be easy to justify it because it matches the fee in lieu of parkland if you were developing a 1 acre lot in an airport or an agricultural district.
But that's one fee applied equally to everybody.
Exactly.
If you have a range, you're going to have questions of how come they only have to pay $1,000 and I got to pay $3,000.
That's
we need a standard that is easily referenced. Whether
that's worth 500 people.
Whether it's Al or whether it's the zoning board or the planning board or whoever it is, to be able to say, well, this is why. You know, for example, we required a soils analysis to be conducted by Ag and Markets, and they came back and we have a schedule. And if it comes back here, this is how much you pay. That's fine. If it's just left open for, best guess, so to speak, of people, I would say that's a poor approach from a legal standpoint. Al's approach of 500 across the board, very easily defensible, very fine. Everybody's paying the same. No problem. Even if you wanted to increase the fee to above the 500, and you wanted to say 1,000, as long as it's equally applied, okay.
Yeah.
If you create a range, you need to be able to tie it to something that can be measured, preferably not by us.
Right.
And would 500 be too much, so to speak, for these solar farms? Or
no, I think that's a pretty fair number. I mean, they average on, the states are about 40 acres. So it's a sizable chunk of change, from a fee standpoint.
Because I remember reading the association. Associations of towns, I think the town of Del Mar did increase the fee for solars to like a $3 or $5. Something happened there. That's why I remember that.
Well, I don't think it was tied to anything other than a dollar amount of a per acre fee.
Yeah.
And that's where, when I was reading it, if we were going to tie it to like a prime soils or something along those lines, I could see having a sliding scale of, well, what's the quality of soils? Now, Mr. Herkel also said, well, it could be great prime soil, but can you get equipment into it? Someone could say it could, even though it's good soils, it might not necessarily be accessible for farming.
You could have good soils and you can't get a tractor in there. And you can't, you can't farm more than 3 acres.
I think we all agree. I get that point. So what would
you
do to make
sure that it doesn't?
Is there an industry standard?
Most municipalities have not associated a fee.
I like, $500 flat fee per acre, call it day.
So let me chime in. We all agree that a sliding scale is ridiculous. It sounds really arbitrary. So my only question is, why not make it 1,000 instead of 500? Why not?
I think the nice thing about 500 is you're able to tie it to
builders.
An existing fee
that's on the books, that you're taking this land, in making it so that it can never be, in this case, what, parkland?
Well, you're not dedicating land for parkland as part of the solar project, so nor do we want the land dedicated as parkland, so we're going to collect.
Not if there's panels on it, no.
Well, period, you don't want, we don't want to have parkland parcels next to every solar field in town.
Yeah, so, you know, in that respect, it's already tied to a discernible fee that is charged, and it relates to a very rational application of that, okay? You're taking this out of the mix for this type of either development or preservation, and we already charge a fee for that. You're doing the same thing here with a different use,
but
we're going to charge you the fee for
I hear you there.
If we're gonna bump that up from 500 to 1,000 in this law, you really need to then think about, should we move it up 1,000 to 1,000 in the other
subdivision law.
Yeah.
So what's the worst case if we move it to 1,000 and keep the other at 500? What's going to happen?
Somebody
there?
Article 78 says, and the Supreme Court says, that you can't do that, and so they void that section of the law, and we
come back to the table?
Yeah, and we come back to the table.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's worst case. It's not the end of the world. The town doesn't go to jail or anything like that, you know, or there's no judgment against us. It's just, it could get overturned. The Supreme Court eventually.
Right, because if someone wants to come in and develop, the fee's 500 per acre if you want to take your 40 acres and break it into, you know, 30 units instead of whatever it's zoned. We have the subdivision fee, whereas if it's solar and we say, well, it's $1,000 an acre, then that's a solar fee, you could be like, well, why is it only 500 for
I will say this. Courts generally are very reluctant to substitute their judgment for that of a duly elected legislative body like yourself.
That's right.
They don't like to, and there's cases that say, there's a lot of case law that says a court should refrain from interjecting its own opinion. So, you know, a lot of times people are like, we're going to challenge this law, and when we win, the court's going to say, oh, it shouldn't be 1,000, it should be 500. That is not what a court would do.
Right.
A court would say, you can't do 1,000, and they remit it back to you guys and say, you figure out what you think you can do. I'm not going to try to influence your independent elected official type decision.
And then we go back to 500. So at this point, I'm saying, let's make it 1,000, call it a day.
Let's somebody try to Article 78 and go through that hoopla.
Makes no difference. I'm a favorite lawyer. The only reason I picked 500 was because that's what our fee in lieu of parkland is.
Match the subdivision fee. Sure.
You can go to 1,000 and like Councilor Girassi said. If they don't like it, they want to take us to court,
to the parkland fee. Yes.
Or they can just pay the fee and do their development. So,
Maybe they'll look somewhere else.
Well, that's right.
Which we don't.
So the way we wrote this when we sent it to county planning was a fee of $500 per acre, which one thing we're trying to address is setting up a fee schedule instead of having it buried in the code somewhere of a fee, because if we put the wording in, then a board can decide as things change, and maybe every town decides $1,500 the right fee per acre, and that's the going rate, and we're meanwhile got it codified at 500. It's a lot easier to change the fee schedule than changing a local law.
We would want to add to the local law a section that says something along the lines of, you know, the fees set forth in this local law may be amended from time to time by the duly adopted resolution.
There you go.
The local law resolution of a majority of the members of the board. If you do that and you put that language in the local law, then going forward in the future, if you need to change the amount of the fees, or this particular fee, you can change it by resolution.
Perfect.
As we modify any of our code sections that have fees or fines in them, we should always put that language in, because it eventually will create a circumstance where you'll be able to change fees and fine amounts by resolution as opposed to local law. The benefit of that is you don't have to do the public notice and hold a public hearing and take 2 months to adopt something, you know, as opposed to getting it done at one meeting.
Let's do it.
Right. Okay. Because the moratorium still exists for solar and battery storage until September 20th. So after our public hearing tonight.
If you're going to change this to $1,000 a lot, in my opinion, you're going to need to renotice the public hearing and hold a new one on this.
Okay.
It's not, the only time you don't have to redo that process is if you make a non-substantial change to the local law. And I can't say that the doubling of a per acre fee is non-substantial.
Okay.
Do you open it and adjourn the existing public hearing, or do you open and close?
You could open the public hearing to the extent there's anybody here that wants to comment tonight, just so the board has the benefit of it.
Yep.
And then I would close it,
okay.
Because it's a public hearing on a law that's being changed.
Okay.
So you don't garner a benefit from keeping it open because you're going to have to hold another one anyway.
Okay.
Other than I was going to say paying another posting.
Except you really need to do the other post. I mean, when you
sure.
change it like this, in fact, frankly, you're not even going to call for a public hearing tonight. We're going to change the local law. It's going to get introduced at the next board meeting, at which you will call a public hearing for the following board meeting. You can't do it tonight because you can't introduce the local law tonight with the amendment on it.
Okay.
Nobody's here typing
so,
it and changing it.
So my question is this, because we have, you know, 5 or 10 areas of the local law and the code we're changing that we've already sent through planning.
Yeah.
Could we remove that section? If that is the only thing we see tonight in our changes, or do we have to send all of this back through?
What you could do tonight is adopt, presuming everything else about the local law is acceptable,
mm-hmm.
and all that you're considering is increasing the fee amount, then you could adopt the local, you could hold the public hearing tonight, adopt the local law as is with the $500 per acre fee in it.
And then next
board meeting, we could introduce an amended local law, simply just changing that
okay.
fee amount.
Is
that
a local law, or is it a...
It'd be a local law because it doesn't stay in here.
Because we wrote $500.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't put the... So we'll do it that way. We still have... And if we have to extend the moratorium one more month to get it through the planning... I mean, I don't think we're going to get much of a comment on it, but we'll follow the process as we have to.
Respect to the moratorium, the reality is you have a moratorium in place for doing exactly what it is you are doing.
Right.
Which is addressing a code revision to cover the type of activities which you placed a moratorium on, as opposed to some municipalities who will enact a moratorium and then do nothing, which is not what you're supposed to do. The Lysander is doing the correct thing. So if you have to or you wanted to extend the moratorium because there was going to be a future revision, Lysander has a proposed law on the table. There's work being done on it. So you really meet the spirit of the requirements
right for the moratorium. Yeah.
You know, time out. I'm a little confused. Up until this point, I didn't realize we had a moratorium because we were working on a fee schedule for the
No,
the moratorium's separate from that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that
but
even
justifying
if
justifying the extension of the moratorium
right.
really
right.
helps us justify
if we don't get everything back in time by September 20th,
exactly.
Nobody's going to come in and try to say you've been extending this moratorium arbitrarily. You know, so the moratorium, just because if we adopt everything and change it, nobody can come in. We still have the moratorium still
okay,
is good. In effect.
All right,
that's,
good. All right.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
Yes. So it doesn't hit on that. Was there any other issues with the proposed code changes?
No.
Okay. So then we can move over to Melvin Farms. You know, and this is just discussion for the board. You know, we're going to have the public hearing. This is, you know, Mr. Yeager and I had sat down, came up with the revisions. We sent it off to the developer. So, you know, if the board has any things to not delay the public hearing that they wanted to ask or discuss. So did you want to,
yes.
Bob, did you
okay.
want to start?
So if you guys get your copy out, I think you guys did a tremendous amount of good work here, and I just found a couple of things that I think need to be further clarified. So on page 4, at the bottom of the page, number 2, notice to town of failures who obtain approval.
Excuse me. If it, if you're just, we're in the middle of a work session, so if you're just, yeah, if you're gonna have a discussion, just step outside until 6:30. Thank you.
Okay. So this section is notice to town of failure to obtain approval shall nullify the bond. So we're requiring the developer to post a bond for the completion of the sewer portion of the project. And if what this section is saying, and I'll stand to be corrected, that if they fail through no fault of their own or regardless to get some approval to build this thing, someone says, well, we're not going to green light it. Just hypothetically, the bond, the whole bond thing is negated. It's null and void, meaning they can say at that point, well, we can't build the sewer project. And I'm asking, and I think we have to put this in this section, okay, fine, you can't build the sewer project, you're not doing the development at all.
That's what it should say, that if they don't do it, it's completely gone.
It's not saying that yet, Jeff, and that's my point. So this language has to be changed.
So I guess the only thing I would say is if they get denied an approval, the project is dead anyway, and therefore the letter of intent goes away. They're starting all over from the beginning.
Yeah, right. But we need to specify that, Al, and we need to make sure that that wording is in that section. That for it's clear as a bell that the whole project is dead at that point, entirely dead. Okay, Dave. So I want you to work on that. And if there's any further discussion, I have a few more items on. Want me to keep going?
You're fine.
Page 5, number 3, notice to complete construction cure default. So this section is saying that if they fail to complete the sewer project, then we cash in the bond, and then the town takes over the construction of the sewer project. It's not, at that point, it's not saying anything about the overall project. And my thought would be the overall project is also dead at this point. We may take that money and complete the sewer project, go, well, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, but I am not going to allow this developer to proceed with his overall project if we're doing the work to build that sewer. Any thoughts?
I just got to really get up to speed with you. I was writing stuff down from your previous comment.
Where is that?
That's page 5, number 3 in the middle of the book, page, notice to complete construction cure default. It basically says that if for some reason we have to claim that bond and take that money and build the sewer.
Yeah, might on be our page
own,
4 on the change one.
Which makes sense.
Thank you.
But at that point, I don't want the developer to say, oh, well, you're doing the sewer part, we'll just continue to build our houses and stuff and we have no obligation.
Right.
This gives them more incentive to make sure they do it, because it will actually complete the sewer project
with
their money.
Dave, how's that read to you?
So I guess go back to what. So the way I read this is simply that if you start work and you fail to complete the work on the pump station, we can call the bond and finish it, right? I mean, that's what this section says. So I'm just trying to tie that into what your concern is.
My concern is we're accepting a load of work to do. They're not fulfilling their obligation to do it. That means they can go about everything else they want to do with their construction project.
Like they can build everything else and say, oh, whoopsie, we didn't do the pump station.
Yeah, and you're
all the bond you guys.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to be in that position.
And then they hook up to the pump station. The whole premise is if the pump station's not built within a year, the project's dead completely.
Yeah,
no fault
months,
of their own.
Yeah,
18 months. 18 months. 16 months.
So you want language
18.
In there that.
And we take
the flip
over.
Side is if I'm the bond, so the bond normally is held by an insurance company. If I'm them, I'm going to then argue with us about why would I even give you the bond? If you killed the project, or not us, but if by operation of this agreement, the project is killed because 18 months have passed, you're not, you know, you didn't, or you didn't fulfill the, like, it's kind of, why would they give us the money, the insurance company, to complete a pump station if we've killed the project that requires the use of the pump station? And why would we want to even do the work? Because no matter how good the bond is and how much it covers, what's the point of continuing if we don't
sewer
let them...
our existing neighborhoods that need sewers in Ball Relevant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Okay, so if there's a benefit to it, I guess that makes sense.
So the whole premise of that is, because I wanted that put in here, is that it gets started right away. It doesn't just sit there and nothing ever happens, because there's been projects already been approved on that land 20 years ago, and nothing has ever happened. And that could be the case here. We approved this, and it just sits there, and now we got an elementary school relying upon a pump station being built, and also residents as well, too. And who's to say that could ever be built, or when will be built as well, too. So I want to put a timeline on it, so if and when this does get approved, that they have 18 months to approve it, or build this project, or the whole project's dead.
Okay. Which that's noted previously.
Yeah. What about a stop work on the balance of the stop, conditioned on our receipt of the bond proceeds and conclusion of the pump station before you can recommence any of the other activities? I mean, ultimately, you would want them to finish, right? But we wouldn't want them to be able to finish that irrespective of what's going on with the pump station unless we got paid through the bond to cover our expense of finishing that work, right?
It's more than that, Dave. Right. I don't want us to shoulder the responsibility of having Al Yeager do one single bit of work on that pump station that the town has to be has to oversee and be responsible for.
So the issue I kind of see with that from a drafting standpoint in terms of the agreement is it's really shifting it away from a bond backing up the town's construction to a precondition.
I got to say, there's other drawbacks to this too, Bob.
Yeah. I'm all ears.
So the other drawbacks to what you're saying is, so you know, as I presented it, when we looked at the Palmer Elementary, hey, these are our options for sewering that. If you take out those 537 units, the debt service for the remaining parcels that are going to be served by that pump station is going to go to $2,800
a
year.
That's a good point.
I don't know if that may be counterproductive.
No, I think you're right.
For our existing residents to put that in.
And we might not get confirmed. You might not get approval.
Okay, so.
Well, no, we would already have the district formed at that point in time,
right.
But it could be brought out.
Remember, it would all change.
Yeah.
It would have been formed based on a per unit cost. Totally off.
So that cost would go up more.
My concern.
This
was a good discussion.
Legitimate to ask.
You know, and so what we'll do is leave it alone.
I'd leave it.
All right. Two more things, if you don't mind. They're both on the where is it? Okay, page 8, number 5, landscaping, gravel paths, and use of park fees. So the A1, terrific, was my request. They're going to plant trees and at 40-foot intervals, blah, blah, blah. And the more I think about this, you know, as trees get planted, some of them are absolutely going to die. And so I would like to see an ad infinitum clause there that the HOA would always continue to replace street trees as needed. So if a tree in front of your house dies that was planted as part of that, I don't want the town to say, oh well, the tree's dead.
Right. And so I was talking to Mr. Yeager about this, and I think the best path would be to not have those trees within the right of way because the salt from the road.
Yeah, we call it out as in the common property.
So it would be more of an HOA, because they're going to have an HOA. Part of this is they would have an HOA if it gets approved. So we would want to put the onus on the HOA of having some kind of clause to keep some kind of tree or of similar, you know, because you don't want to name a specific tree because you get a disease or something. And, you know, but to have some kind of tree or shade cover in the front of each parcel, you know, to...
Right. So is that legit?
Barrier.
Is that a legit kind of concern?
I, I think it's kind of a planning, honestly, I think that's something that the planning board needs to take. The planning board has more
authority.
It's more appropriate for the planning board to do that piece of it than right now. It's more of a site plan.
So that would happen after this one?
I think so.
Can we suggest it to the planning board? Okay.
To the planning board,
right?
Though they make an independent decision.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, that was my concern. If you put it in the incentive zoning, it's set in stone. There's a finite rule to follow. If it's a suggestion by a planning board, then you're going back and forth on, does the tree get replaced? So.
All right, so we agreed that we're going to send it to the planning board. We're going to recommend to the planning board and just leave it like this?
Yep.
Okay, all right, fine. And then the last one I had is E, and this was, I think I was misunderstood, and I'll take the blame for that, but it says parkland fees paid by the applicant will be utilized by the town exclusively for a future Seneca River Trail construction. Absolutely in favor of the Seneca River Trail except the project, which may or may not ever happen. So what I would suggest we do here is that the parkland park fees get used at the town's discretion to enhance recreation in the town of Lysander. Which means it would more than likely, if we don't use it for the trail, we could use it for the trail, but it would more than likely be used in the park. Just like we do with all the other money.
Right. Instead of earmarking
it specifically for the trail.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's not going to cost the developer anything, so if we're in agreement, I can see that change. And I'm good with the rest of it. I thought you guys did a great job.
Who's on 370? Does anybody else have anything?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then we will end the work session at 6:22. Give everybody a couple minutes and start the meeting at 6:30. Dave, just so you know, we're gonna be starting the meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Call the meeting to order at 6:30 p.m. First item is the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did I grab yours? I don't think so. Don't worry, you can follow along here. Next item up on the agenda is the adoption of minutes. Can I get a motion to adopt the August 7th, 2025 minutes?
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Counselor, I'll give Counselor Moore the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yes? Next item on the agenda is the Melvin Farms public hearing. I just want to remind residents, we're going to let everybody talk. We're not going to shut this down or anything, so just take your time. But the one thing I'm going to ask, you got to come up to the microphone and speak so the town clerk can write the information down. If you choose to give your name, you can. You don't have to. So that being said, let me call the meeting to order. Can I get a motion to reopen the Melvin Farms public hearing on incentive zoning at 6:32 p.m.?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All yes. The public hearing is now underway. As I had stated before with the rules, Mr. DiRigio is here on behalf of the developer. So, Mario, if you'd come up to the mic, do you want the wireless one, or do you want to stand there?
Well, this is okay. I don't have a lot to say. We've made some additional changes to the LOI. The biggest change is that we're going to be putting up a bond for $4.3 million as the cost to the town of putting together this pump station and the force main and the gravity sewer to 370. That's, you know, there's a few other changes, but that's the primary change. I'm answer any questions that anybody might have.
And so if you're okay, I'm going to let Mr. Yeager speak for a few minutes about the, you know, what the sewer connections and what this would mean to the area.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What was that number? I mean,
4.3.
4.3 million. 4.3. So, 1 million. I'll explain. So, a few weeks ago.
You might want to turn your microphone on and bring it closer.
A few weeks ago, I got to
bring it closer.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So a few weeks ago, I think it was the end of May, we presented a study. We looked at sewering Palmer Elementary. We looked at a few different options. One option was what we're talking about here tonight, going through Melvin Farms. The other option was getting over to Timber Banks. There's two ways we could get into Timber Banks. Bottom line is the costs are astronomical for the existing residents without having some kind of density on this parcel. For example, with this project moving forward and the 537 units of debt service being applied for this project, plus the 146 units that are existing that would get served in phase one of this project, the annual debt service per equivalent dwelling unit is $227. If this project doesn't move forward and the town constructs it all and bonds for it all and builds the 146 existing units, the debt service goes to $2,800 a year.
For how long?
30 years, which is unsustainable. We understand that. The town understands that that's not sustainable, that's not a reality. But the bottom line is we do need to figure out a way to get Palmer School sewer. Otherwise, everybody in the community is paying for a new septic system for Palmer School, which preliminary estimates are at about $2 million. So there's that benefit of this. When we looked at Timber Banks, the least expensive option to connect into Timber Banks would have resulted in we would have served very few residents, only those few residents on Patchett Road and the piece at the corner, Five Corners, and the cost, the debt service cost was $2,000 a year for 30 years for those residents. Again, it's over the comptroller's threshold of what's allowed, and it's really not, you know, that's a hardship that the town board would have a hard time putting on any resident. So that's how we got to where we are. That's, you know, ultimately, without something being built there, Cold Springs Peninsula never gets sewers. There's many residents that are existing there that have built homes or bought homes in neighborhoods that have dry sewers. They've been promised sewers. Somehow we got to connect them. And the cost to connect them without infill development like this is astronomical. That's just, and it's unattainable or unfair to those residents. The long-term plan for the town since 1968 has always been you would sewer from west to east, from the wastewater treatment plant on Barbara Lane all the way to the end of the Cold Springs Peninsula. Unfortunately, the development has occurred in a checkerboard pattern, and you've got these blank pieces in the middle that never got developed, which because of inflation and the cost of construction have resulted in, you know, something that is unaffordable for our existing residents to get, you know, the sewers that they were promised. And, you know, there's an environmental impact to this as well. I mean, we've got all these homes on the river, that are tributary. Unfortunately, they're subsurface wastewater disposal systems or septic systems. By today's design standards, they wouldn't be viable because they are, you know, essentially resulting in pollution to the river. So the intent of incentive zoning is to allow density, higher density than would normally be allowed in the AR40 zoning district, to overcome some of the cost implications of our that would affect our existing residents to provide them sewer. With that, I feel free if residents want to come up. I'll answer questions. I know Mario will answer questions, and I'm sure the board will answer questions.
Yes. So now that Mr. Yeager's done and the developer has spoken, as I had said before, feel free to come up one at a time or put your hand up and we'll grab you from the audience to come up, and you have 5 minutes. We're going to keep it to something to keep everything going if we get through everybody or whatever and someone has a secondary comment. Just all I'm going to ask is if you're going to get up and reiterate what somebody already said, we've heard it. So for the people in the last 2 years, this public hearing was opened in May of 23. It was put on hiatus until roughly May of 25, and we have adjourned it or held it as we have received information that we had looked for as a town board. I have put all the information we have available up on the town website. There was it's under important notices. There's probably 15 attachments. That some of these are voluminous. The traffic report is 120 pages. To print that out for people would be very difficult. So that is up on the website. Everything that we are looking at is available on the website. The only thing I just added today were the revisions that we had suggested and the revisions that were made by the developer on July 7th. All of those revisions actually were benefits. It was nothing taking away. You know, the developer is at 537 units right now. The bonding agreement to increase to $4 million, that would be to build the sewer system out if something were to happen, if the developer cannot fulfill that plan. So we have tried to cover all of the bases on the incentive zoning. This project is an incentive zoning area. This was decided by the board in 2015 and revised in 2016. The comprehensive land use plan that we are going by to help with this has been created in 2017 and revised in 2023. A lot of this development hits earmarks that have been through planning board, county planning board, zoning board reviews. A lot of this project has already touched on those, but it doesn't mean that your interests do not count, but it is one part of the equation. So I just ask people to take that into account. The solar farm that is already being built on part of this site was already in the planning board process well before the moratorium started in 2023. So the solar farm that's being built, while considered part of this project, was already through. The moratorium still exists. Nobody else could come forward with solar or battery storage right now until September 20th. We may have to extend that if you stick around for the proposed code changes. We will address that tonight. So I'm just reminding people of the bases we know. The traffic study, I know, was not up on the website until a week and a half ago. The traffic study was done in 2023. It was with the original build out of 588 units. We're down roughly 10% on that, so obviously there'd be a very minor difference in traffic compared to the reports that are there. I just wanted to try to cover a lot of bases that I know people are going to bring up that we have heard. We understand that. So as we move forward here and people talk tonight, like I said, you have 5 minutes. Please come up to the microphone and talk. Remember, clapping, cheering, yelling, screaming, that doesn't help. It doesn't help the town clerk be able to record the minutes. So if you could refrain from anything like that, we all know that people have opinions. So,
One more thing I want to make sure the public is aware of that's not talked about in the LOI, but the New York State DOT has come back and said that they are going to require left turn lanes east and westbound on 370 as part of the traffic improvements for the project.
At the Hayes and Hicks Road intersection.
Hayes and Hicks Road intersection. So that's an important thing to consider from a traffic movement standpoint for 370 traffic.
So if you look at that map, they do have a separate entrance and exit for further up the road. If you're going past Abbott's toward the village, that's not, there won't, currently they didn't see a need for a turn lane there. It would be at the intersection where the traffic light is right now. So
are you eliminating that go-kart?
Well, let Mr. Chambers put his hand up first. We'll let Bill talk, and then the next person can put their hand up. We'll grab them and we'll take your comment.
I'd like to thank,
you just might have to get it closer. Everything failed yesterday. I had the AV system.
I'd like to thank the board for having this opportunity to have the public hearing. First, I do have a question because I'm a little confused. The cost went from $1.68 million to $4 million.
So the difference there,
the pump station.
The difference there is if the developer constructs it on his own, he constructs it at non-prevailing wage rates. He did not include any contingency in his estimate.
I don't care. It just, that's the number, $4.8 million.
$4.3 million.
Okay, that's their contribution
to constructing it if they do not construct it on their own. If they fail to meet their obligation and the town pulls their bond.
Okay.
But you believe that's what the cost would be.
Perfect. But if they build it on their own, it's 1 point, call it round 1.7.
Yeah, 1.7, 1.8.
Okay. Thank you. That explains it. So my first question is, if the developer builds 50 houses and then goes out of business, who pays the debt service for the remainder of the 30 years? If after 1 year he says, this is it, I'm done.
So when we write the map plan and report for the sewer district, which defines how the billing will be, the map plan and report will link the density that's approved on each parcel within the Melvin Farms development will pay that number of debt service units on it.
So there's 50 houses built and they go out of business. There's about 200 houses, including my house. I'm Bill Chambers from Camerdale Road. I've lived here 42 years. So who pays the remainder of the debt service? They're gone. Do the 200 remaining people, including myself and my wife, pay the rest of it?
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, Kevin, but unpaid tax, so that would be on their tax bill. The county reimburses the town for unpaid tax bills.
For 30 years.
Let's face it. Because it would go up for tax auction after 3 years. It was a very valuable piece of property that would certainly get bought and developed.
There's no assurance it would be developed. I think you're making an assumption there that it would be developed. In the meantime, would I be responsible?
No,
because the debt service.
Default on your bond?
The debt service would be applied. If we got to this is a hypothetical, the entire sewer district gets created.
Right.
We're planning on 537 units coming out of here on top of the rest of the existing debt. That would be on their tax bill as debt service to the sewer district.
Could that be bonded?
Not following what you're asking.
Could their obligation
could we make them keep like a fund where that would be paid? Well, so this is how the taxes work. So the county makes the town and all the smaller municipalities whole when we receive your taxes. So the county would be paying.
If we don't receive your taxes, the county makes us whole.
Right. If someone doesn't pay their taxes, the county makes the towns, the smaller municipalities whole first. So the county incurs the indebtedness. That's why the county would then put your property up for tax auction. They're the ones holding the debt.
Thank you for your answer. It doesn't make me feel a whole lot better. I'm a conservative CPA. I've worked my whole career. I need to understand things before I can support something. That's helpful, but it's a partial answer. I would also ask the board to provides for the residents information about Landmark and the company, what other developments they've done, obtain audited financial statements, whatever you normally would do if you're a bank, because in essence, you're a bank. We're the bank. You're the bank. You should have information on everything they've ever done in the last 30 years, 20 years. You know, what developments have they done? What have they gone well? Have they not gone well? Talk to people in all the in the towns and other areas where they've done. I think Mr. Geraci would understand that. It's important as a good, solid conservative that you want to understand the risk you're taking when they become your partner. There's some other comments I have, and one of them is in the letter of intent that was included, submitted, I think with Mario, with your name on it. And it says at one point, it says the following: as previously noted, Palmer Elementary School operates a septic system that will fail in the next few years. Is that based on a study that you did?
I didn't do it. It was just.
It was based on Palmer's study that they did, because they Palmer presented that to us, that they're on a septic system that is failing currently right now, as we sit, and it's got to be replaced in the next few years.
Yeah, this, I mean, the school district, I thought there were going to be people in attendance tonight, but the school district.
That's a report that.
Yeah, that's a report.
School district has to make a decision.
You can call the school district, and they'll be more than happy to share that information.
Okay, I just think it's strong language to say it's going to fail.
It is going to fail. It's failing right now, and that's what they told us. Yes, they told me that.
Yes, I mean, the school.
And that's what the whole push is for as well, too.
We've had annual meetings with the school district over where this project's going because of making their decision for long-term debt planning on what they would have to do.
So going back to the first question, maybe this answers it. The comptroller has a limit of some threshold.
The state comptroller for a district.
And does that include the Onondaga County share?
That's total cost, so that's the Onondaga County treatment charge and the debt service.
So if in fact the issue that I'm concerned with happened, would they step in and say, I'm not responsible, or the 100, 200 people who are in there, if option 1A was adopted, would not be responsible for anything more than 600?
I think the answer is, again, I'll step in if I'm misstating this. The sewer district's going to be created with a certain number of parcels, of units that are going to be charged. The, I think, Val, you said 200 and some odd dollars per unit.
Yep.
If they fail, that charge still exists on those units, and it's on their tax bills, and the county makes us whole, and with that money...
There are no units. It's raw land.
No, but the units are already incorporated into their bill.
It's already in their
Even though they're not built yet, those units would be on the bill.
The county, when they make us whole, we've in effect for that year received all the money we need to satisfy debt service for that year.
Okay.
Ad infinitum for as long as the property is still not paying itself.
This is getting better. It's very helpful, but I have a question for Mario that would make it go away. Totally go away. And would assure that I would knock on doors to help you.
Yeah, I am.
It's $2.9 million. The town's share, I think, is it $2.9 million for the bonding?
No, it's $4.3 million.
No. That's to construct the
town's cost for.
You see where this is going.
1A?
Yep.
He's looking at the proposed sewer district.
Right.
If Melvin Farms were to be built, the additional area.
Bill Chambers, glad to meet you. Give them another $2.9 million, and I'm going to support you. And I think the people.
He's not giving it to us, if that was your request.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. $2.9 million is only for 537 units.
Keep in mind a couple of things. Number one, to put up $4.3 million bond.
A bond.
You pretty much have to put in that much cash in the bank to secure it.
Well, I don't.
Good. The other point is, we're going to actually, you know, taking your scenario, we're going to actually build the system, okay, the pump station, so that if we then go bankrupt and go out, you still have the system, you know, debt free. That system is now the town's and it's debt free. And if we don't,
but the town's put in another $2.9 million that I'm going to be paying for. So I'm just asking you nicely.
Okay, I'm not aware.
Well, he's in Glory and Camerondale, which would be hooked up, so they would have a debt service. That the development would be tied into.
From the developer's point of view, what I'm saying is, he's already built the pump system and the forced main,
right,
and that's debt free. So if he goes bankrupt, the town still has a huge asset.
I'm not going to disagree. I'm just, regardless of any of those scenarios, I'm asking for $2.9 million more.
For the power elementary school, to pay for everything.
I can finish with that. And I'm not laughing about it. I'm serious. Because I will go door to door asking people to request that you pay $2.9 million more to fund the project. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sir. I don't know your name. I know you had asked, so if you could come up to the microphone.
Well, I prepared some comments, but
sure,
I'm going in a little different direction. So,
okay.
First question I have, you say it's $253 per unit for the debt service of the sewer?
$227.
Is that per apartment or per unit?
Per apartment.
We're going to not do it at a discount for apartments. Apartments are going to be one equivalent double.
Okay. Aren't they usually a half unit?
Three quarters. Well, the apartment's four units, then you got four times two.
No. Each unit within the apartment building pays one unit of debt service. So if you have a fourplex townhouse, that's four units of debt service. If you have 140 senior apartments, that's 140 units of debt service.
Right, so each toilet that flushes in the unit is going to pay a debt service.
Correct.
Okay. Because I know I pay 400 and whatever I wrote down.
$453.
$462.
Ooh.
I looked at my tax bill before I came here. Anyways, I have a whole different, well, I'm going to go through my issues, and then I want to talk more about the money side of things. Because I'm also financially, in that kind of world. This project started out back in 2015 as an AR-40 for 172 single-family homes. That was the initial project back in 2015. That was not approved due to density issues. Then I attended the meeting May of last year, and we're back about 2 years later, and I don't know all of why it wasn't approved the way it was done. The maps change a little bit, the density's a little bit less. But my biggest concerns, financially, yes, because my house isn't going to pay for it, I don't think, because I'm in Holly Hill, so we already have our sewer district. But my biggest concern is the safety of Lysander residents and the people who travel the roads around here. You say you have a big, we finally have the traffic light at 3370 Hayes and Palmer. Before that traffic light, every day there were sirens going at that intersection with accidents, serious injuries, etc. I don't hear it as often anymore. I started to ask about the road cut on 370. Is that road cut still coming out on 370, or is that gone away?
It's still coming out.
Still coming out. And looking at the map, how far to the west of Abbott's entrance is that road cut? Can you say? I can't tell off that map.
I'll give you a few hundred feet.
I think it's about
more than a few hundred.
Yeah, because Abbott's is in front of the easement area.
Yeah, I can tell on that tiny little map. 2,980 feet. Is that going to be a right turn only or a full intersection?
That's really a DOT question. At this point in time, they haven't weighed in on that because the developer hasn't asked for the curb cut yet.
Okay.
What the DOT had said at this time is, for a development of this density, the developer will need to construct
left turn lanes for eastbound and westbound traffic on 370.
Correct. Which is
at the traffic
light.
Which
is very good.
Right.
My concern is if they make that a full intersection where they're proposing, you're moving the problem we had with the light that's there now to a different intersection. If it's a right turn only, they're not going to be crossing traffic. Like when you go out of Cicero down to Lawton Valley, they come out to right turn only. So you're not crossing 31 to make a left turn.
One of the differences between now and before the traffic light, the traffic light creates gaps. So your primary turning movement at Hicks Hayes and 370 is eastbound. Is your primary turning movement for all vehicles entering 370. Sure, there's some that turn left and go toward the village, but it's if you look at the traffic counts, it's a low percentage.
It's probably going the other way.
Exactly.
Right.
So you have plenty of gaps to allow people to make that left-hand turn movement, or you should have plenty of gaps to allow people to make the left-hand turn movement from the proposed curb cut onto 370 westbound towards the village.
Right, kind of like what I do at Holly Hill at the top of the
exactly.
hill.
Okay. Exactly. And I'm sure you've seen the difference now that the traffic light has been installed.
Yeah,
from a gap
correct.
For making that turn.
Correct.
So the same applies.
Okay. The other question, and I don't know how many people really do this, but they could avoid the light at 370, which I don't know why they would do, and just go down Hayes and come out down by the Elks Club, which would make sense, but that's another
turning movement at the Elks Club is a nightmare.
Right. Yeah. If you make a left, forget it.
Yeah.
537 units. Probably is going to be what, another 2,200, 2,500 individuals living down there, approximately?
No.
Not that many?
No. Because you have 140 senior apartments. Most senior apartments are only one occupant.
One or two. Okay.
Yeah, most of them are only one, predominantly. Most apartments, even, are one occupant. It's about 50-50 between one and two occupants.
Okay.
So. I think you're probably more in the 800 to 900 resident range when it's all said and done.
Oh, I think that's a little low, maybe. Okay,
with 140 senior apartments, I don't know as it is.
Well, you know,
and family sizes are shrink.
Family sizes are 3, 4. Lifespan is very popular. People want to live here. We can't settle that. The selling point here has always been getting the sewers to Palmer. I think that goes without saying. The cost, I initially thought it went up, but again, whatever it costs the developer to build it out, that's their issue. If it costs them a dollar, it costs them $5 million, that's their problem. If they default, then we have 4 point something million to finish it, if I understand it correctly. The sewage treatment plant that is behind my house, they just did major construction on it. We all know what the problems were with it, with odors, et cetera, covering it. With all this new sewer flow going into the Baldwinsville treatment plant there, Baldwinsville Seneca Knowles, are we going to extend that within a few years? Is it going to handle the sewer flow? What's going to happen with that?
I was just talking with the new commissioner this afternoon. We've verbally been told at a couple different meetings that there's capacity in the plant to handle this development. And I'm assured this afternoon that we will get a capacity assurance letter before our next meeting.
Okay, so if their capacity letter stated that we're going to have to do an extension in 2, 3, 4 years, will we ask Mario's gang here to, I don't mean to call you gang, but Mario's people to put up something to pay for that?
So I've done an in-depth analysis of the published flow data from the Baldwinsville Seneca Knowles treatment plant.
I don't know how it works. I flush the toilet and have to go away.
Hopefully.
You don't want that
hopefully
smell.
That's how it works.
Let's put it that way.
Right. I don't want the smell back.
So right now, Baldwinsville Seneca Knowles, from a flow standpoint, from the design capacity, is operating at about 50%.
Okay.
So what the design capacity is. From a BOD standpoint, with the strength of the waste, because of our food production businesses in the Radisson Industrial Park, they're running at about 78% of the design capacity. So residential waste is very low strength from a BOD standpoint,
right.
And like with all pollution, this may seem like a bad way to say it, but dilution is the solution. so more flow of low strength waste actually helps the design capacity from being
right, the more extra water flow.
Correct.
Okay. Well, just going through some of my bullet points here. Is Lysander, I haven't heard where Lysander has given any tax breaks or anything, or
nothing's been promised.
Nothing's been promised.
No.
Okay. So we're not.
No, and on the county end, there's nothing. Workforce housing is on the county plan, and there is no workforce housing in this proposal.
Okay. My final point here, and I brought this up last time, but I tried to put it in simpler terms because I know the county, everybody knows what's trying to be happening here, more density, et cetera. I ran numbers at 172 homes that they were built at an average selling price of $750,000. That would give an assessed value of $129 million into the town. If a $750,000 home, you can't build a home under $750,000 these days, that's a tax bill of $23,000. A tax bill of $23,000 times 172 homes brings in $3.956 million worth of revenue. I don't know what this whole project's going to bring in tax-wise. I don't think it's going to bring in that much money. And then we have all the density that goes with it, the safety concerns, the fire, the ambulance, the extra traffic, those out of schools, and everything. So I'd be really curious to know what the tax revenue is going to be from this project. I couldn't find anything.
We did it last meeting.
So the assessor, as I recall, came up with a conservative value of the taxable value of this project would be $2 million.
Okay. That's conservative, because this is conservative too, but you have to build houses
right
3 years at $750,000.
Exactly.
So what I'm saying here is you're going to have more revenue keeping it, not bringing all this traffic to us, not having to improve the schools, not having to have bigger fire stations.
But if they built by AR-40, the current zoning?
Current zoning, correct.
None of this is in play.
Land, right?
He wouldn't have to give us the money for the pump station. He wouldn't have to put the bond up because there's no, this is a planning board issue if he built the 100, I mean now the solar farm's there. If he decided to build out AR-40, we wouldn't accept the roads because the roads wouldn't pay for themselves. Because half-acre lots.
No,
we would require them to be private roads because they would not pay for themselves in the upkeep and maintenance. The long-term costs.
So, Holly Hill, when we built that, was R-15. There's sewers there. Obviously, right. You build more houses. It was changed to single-family, R-15, R-20. If you took
this and made it R20, you're looking at
about how many houses?
400.
340. Oh, so there's things that we're overlooking. You're overlooking here.
Okay, maybe.
So one is the solar farm took up a chunk of this now. So that comes out of the equation for the number of homes you can build. Two, there's a lot of wetland encumbrances on that parcel. And now, because of the new state wetland regulations, each one of those wetlands would have, they came back with a new proposal for R-40, each one of those wetlands would have a 100-foot setback requirement.
Right, used to be 30.
It's always been 100, but it was federal wetlands before. Now there are no federal wetlands in MS4 jurisdictions. So there would be, basically what I'm saying is, if you try to develop this with a conventional AR-40 zoning district,
you're not going to get anywhere.
I don't think you're getting 100 homes. And 100 homes isn't going to punch the ticket to build the pump station in the force main,
right?
Because the cost of the lots is going to be $250,000 a piece. Nobody's going to pay that.
Right.
So the idea that you're going to develop this with conventional zoning, even if you try to do a cluster development and went to R20, you're still not getting to 172 units.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that.
So the if the town wanted to, you know, as I recall, in 2015, that got shot down because everybody was concerned about the view shed on 370. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, the town probably, in 2015, probably should have said, yeah, this is a good move. They didn't.
Right.
And because of inflation and because of everything else, we're in a
quandary.
We're in a quandary. We allowed the school district septic system to exceed its life expectancy.
Right.
It is not functioning as intended. If we didn't have the dry out period that we have in the summertime when school isn't in session, there would be breakouts all over that septic system leach field. So to say that, I don't want to phrase this.
Well, there's a number of factors that would limit the change, but the other part is with that zoning, we wouldn't get the pump station, we wouldn't get the sewers.
I used to work for a developer here and a home builder, and you know, they always made the developer pay for it. But anyways, my only bringing this up is I didn't know there was a better utilization of that big piece of parcel land to not have the density that's going to come to the area.
The right. Other piece of this that I think everybody overlooks when they really start thinking about this is there's a very small percentage of the population that can afford to buy $750,000 homes. If you look at what the rate of construction is of new homes in the town of Lysander, mm-hmm. total combined, yeah. You're 40 to 50 single family homes a year in the entire town.
Right.
So to build out that development at single family, you would be decades, and you have a very small percentage of the population that can afford that caliber of home.
Right.
The trend, because of construction costs, and I think this is nationwide, this isn't just in upstate New York, is people are gravitating towards higher density living, whether it be townhouses, whether it be apartments, whether it be small lots with smaller homes, because of the long-term cost. Again, how many people can afford a $23,000 tax bill?
Not many, and then the interest rates are double.
Exactly. You've just eliminated the vast majority of the population cannot afford that style of living anymore.
There's no other way to say it. Yeah, I understand. I'm in the business.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, to sum up, you know, I'm just bringing up stuff that I just think, you know, to talk
sure.
about. Just to sum it up, my concern is density, safety, cost, and the benefit to us, the taxpayers. So, thanks everybody for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to come up next? Sure.
Hi, Paula Campbell. I live on Perryville Road. A year ago, I stood here and asked if the development didn't go through, would the sewer still come down on Perryville Road? And I was told, no, we don't have any money. What's happening now? If the development doesn't go through, is the whole thing going to be washed? Or is this something that's going to go through and the town of Lysander is going to pick up the sewers and go down Perryville to the river and tie in all these people in the sewer system? We paid for years on our tax bills for sewers that we couldn't use, we didn't have, because we were in the area. And it was just till maybe a couple of years ago when it came off our tax bills. On Barbara Lane, there was a sewage treatment plant or pump station, and we had it in our tax bills that we were being charged for sewage.
So do you, I was never made aware of an issue.
What you're referring to is the county water charge.
No, it was a sewage charge. It was
what's your address? We'll pull
we
the
paid
bill.
For what we paid for the water. 20 years we paid for the water, which was paid off a few years ago. But we were charged because of Barbara Lane, because we lived in the sewage, that pumping station area. And it's not come off the tax bills, but we paid for years on it.
I
brought a tax bill.
I think what you're referring to is the county water charge.
No, it was not water. It was sewage.
Anyway,
I'd have to find that. I was not aware of that. If that was charged in error.
District there.
Right.
But my question is, are you bringing sewers down Perryville and including the river down there? Surbrook, Perryville, that whole area.
So this the first phase of the sewer district would be connecting the dry sewered areas. The second phase of the sewer district would be to get the Red Rock neighborhood and the western two-thirds of Hayes Road sewer.
Okay. So you're saying the second
phase, and that would happen when the piece that Abbott just sold, the 68-acre piece that Abbott just sold that's between this development and Red Rock got developed, they would be contributing to the cost of that. And on top of that, we would be chasing grant that your neighborhood and the Hayes Road neighborhood has a high probability once this pump station and force main is constructed to receive a water quality improvement grant because of your proximity to the river.
Okay.
But the value of those grants is never going to be enough to pay for the full pump station construction and force main construction.
So in other words, if this falls through with the housing, it's not, we're not getting them again.
It would. So here's what could happen in that area, and I'm not threatening people, I'm just the reality of it. If anybody remembers Whispering Oaks years ago, there was a DEC
consent order
because of sewage going into the watershed, aka the Seneca River.
Yeah.
If this doesn't get built, let's say a few years down the road some of those sewer systems fail and the DEC comes through and they say there's sewage going into the river, they would require the town to build that sewer system.
Okay.
So if this isn't there, we still need a pump station, we would need grinder pumps, and we would need to pump the sewage from that bottom half up to BSK, which that if this doesn't happen, we already know that that pump station would be at least $1 million. I mean, you're not getting out of the whole cost of it, but it wouldn't be serving as large of a district. That would be the reality of where the town wouldn't have a say at that point if it were to occur. This isn't, I'm not trying to fearmonger, but this, you know, it happened in Cayuga County. They did it over at Fairhaven when my parents lived there. They slowly made their way around the bay and connected everybody to sewers. But at that point, it would be out of your hands of deciding that. And I'm not calling the DEC, but you know, they would eventually start to inspect.
I can call the DEC.
Right. But that's but then that cost, you know, now if we had that infrastructure there, that cost wouldn't be as large as if all that stuff had to be built and the infrastructure to get it from this point up to there had to be built.
So this whole deal with this building and everything, this is still up in the air. It's not
the plan is we have all the information. We have no more information to give the public. So that was, we sent the letters out to let everybody know, here's our last swing at the public hearing part. If there's anything additional tonight, we will give it to the developer. They would revise the letter of intent one more time, and then we would probably vote at the next meeting or the meeting after if all the paperwork gets done. On the deciding factor of, you know, the board would sit here and decide, do the benefits outweigh the costs?
Okay.
You know, but as Mr. Yeager said, we have already applied this year to try to get a grant. We applied last year to get a grant in case this doesn't happen to cover the top part of the project. We were unsuccessful. The state, who gives the grant, is really looking for medium to high density housing to try to qualify a district, especially we have a tough time asking for a grant when the average home cost is over $400,000 in the town of Lysander.
Right.
So we have a couple factors at play at how we could apply, but that area, Sherbrooke, Red Rock, that would be a place where the state would go, hey, we need to throw some money at this to take care of this because of what is there, and there isn't an opportunity for more development. I mean, most of that would not be developed now, being in a floodplain and the current rules.
Okay. So. The problem is, I mean, we've put so much money into septic systems. We've got three new septic systems.
Yes.
We put thousands of dollars in, but they still don't work right.
Correct.
You know, when we have heavy rain, we have a downstairs toilet we can't even use. We have to use the upstairs, and we're getting too damn old to be climbing the stairs. But. And, you know, they said you can put a raised bed in, but they don't guarantee those either. And we have a neighbor who had a raised bed put in, You paid like $20,000 for it, it doesn't work.
Right.
So we need sewers down there.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Next person? Sure.
Okay, I have a question. So this is a lot of homes going in, a lot of families. What's going to happen with the schools? We're talking about Palmer septic going to the septic system. They're overflow. Like the school, my girl, thank God she's 16, so we don't have to deal with that anymore. But is anybody looking at the schools, the quality of the schools, the teachers, the classroom sizes? The size of the school, like, you're going to give them a septic system, and we're going to have more kids. You can't tell me all those houses or apartments are going to be just adults. You're going to have kids. Is anybody taking a look at that?
We have gotten statements from the school district that they...
Enrollment's actually down, too.
Yeah, enrollment's down. The school district has said they have capacity. The other thing that's worth noting is what we've seen with apartment complexes and apartments is the number of children per unit is much lower than single family housing.
What kind of capacity does Palmer say they have?
They're actually going to, they're redistricting.
Right,
well,
remember the school's going through a 6-year redistricting program. So eventually,
I see my kids out of Palmer.
Right, so Palmer by 2031, if I remember what Mr. Gbarbary told me last week, so don't quote me, Palmer will be UPK, Universal Pre-K, to grade 3.
That's it.
Ray will then become 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, 4, 3, 6.
They are going to add on to Ray.
So Ray will become bigger?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, so all the elementary schools will be UPK through 3. They are going to construct the second floor on Durge, so they're going to empty Eldon out in the next 3 years, and some of the Durge kids will be attending when they start shifting the grades. And I just was told by Mr. DeBarbera, I don't remember all of it, but they are gonna shift one of the grades as seventh grade moves up. They're gonna shift one of those to Eldon, to use Eldon while Durge undergoes extensive renovations and adds the second floor.
And Baker?
Baker will stay 10, 11, 12. There's no movement there.
And they have to be for potentially more?
Yeah, Mr. DeBarbary has never stated any concerns with increase of students because you don't know, we don't know who's going to live here. So you can't, you know, it's a hard thing to...
Looking at it, because I know when my daughter was going through all the schools, they were at capacity, and holy crap, there were problems. Like,
yes, was that the mid-2010s or no? Or was it recently? Okay.
She's only in 10th grade, right?
I know in the mid 2000s.
So then, because if she was in there in 10th, then they didn't even have capacity to have a full kindergarten class. It was half days.
Because
my
Palmer?
Son, yeah, my son was at Palmer. They didn't even have a full.
So it calmed down after my daughter left.
Yeah.
Because it's been a hot nightmare through the whole thing. So I'm thinking, because there's kids in our neighborhood now, I'm on Serbrook. Like, all these poor kids are going to go to Palmer. It was a mess when my daughter was there. So I just want to make sure somebody's, like, you're talking about septic system, but what about capacity?
Right.
My second question is, and we're on a septic, right? Okay, that's
it. Yep. Yeah, that's okay.
As far as you know.
I don't know. He deals with that. So if sewage were to come down on Serbrook, I don't really care one way or another. We don't have a problem with our septic. We're right on the river. What's the time frame? Like, it's not going to be overnight, right?
No.
So how many years are we waiting? Because maybe some people are thinking it's not even worth the wait. We're going to Florida.
That might be a separate public hearing if we want to attend. I'd love to sit in your
I'll
lawn and watch this.
You can sit up here.
But, it would all depend on, I mean, if this gets approved,
construction
and we luck out and comes through the state, we get the grant. We would be applying for the next phase for the grant. We would start discussions. So the next thing is, if this becomes approved, how would we create the sewer district? Would we try to create it all as one and bring people on so they're already in the district? Or would we create extensions as we go? there's a lot of other things we have to discuss to determine the path forward on that.
So guesstimating, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20.
They would have 18 months to build that pump station.
Yeah.
Okay, so they
that's,
like,
say, 2 years.
Hypothetically, walk me through. We're on Serva. People are thrilled about having septic. If this all gets approved, he does his thing, yay. How long am I waiting?
We'd have to make the that's my little 5 minute marker. That's fine. Nobody's up in arms. That's fine. They're all great questions. We would have to, you know, the residents could petition. The residents could go around and say, hey, we don't want to wait. This is already moving along. Pump station's built. We want to add on. We could, you know, try to build the district and then go for the grant money later. I think we have a much stronger chance of achieving a grant in that area than we do in any other area in the town of Lysander. So having the assistance to help offset the tax burden of the district costs would be beneficial to that area.
So hypothetically speaking,
maybe within 5 years.
Okay.
Because that's a process. I mean, this is, you'd be a couple years. I mean, if this got approved, Mario, when do you think the first building would hold people?
First building that we would build?
Yeah. Well, when would you anticipate, if this went through in September of 25, how long would it be before a resident, you know, the sewer's built and there's an actual resident in Melvin Park?
2 years.
Right. So we wouldn't be able to move forward on anything.
We have somebody in there.
Right. Well, we wouldn't be able to move forward until that sewer line's built. You know,
so 5 years,
with it,
give or
yes.
take a few.
Minimum.
Okay. My last question, I'm sorry. With all these people coming in, they could be fabulous people. Maybe not. Anybody thinking about increased security and patrols, and our fire department's pretty small. Who's going to support them?
It's in the Belgium district.
So,
most
going to be in Belgium?
That is in Belgium.
The 53 patio homes are in Seneca River.
Seneca River is closer, yeah.
Yeah,
but that's...
It's just district lines.
District lines.
Okay, so they're not our problem.
Correct.
The 53 patio homes, I think,
yes,
might be.
Yes, the 53 patio homes on the east side of Hayes Road would be in Seneca River.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
I thought the district line went up to almost Mr. Lee's house. Okay, I apologize. Okay, then it's all Belgium.
Okay, it's all Belgium.
Yeah, I thought it extended up to the almost to the houses.
So none of it impacts on Belgium.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm done. Am I done?
I got a follow up what she was talking about.
Sure.
Maybe.
Is this the Florida part right now?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. So, if you build this to through the plan, okay, who's going to get that first? Who's going to benefit from that first? The new buildings or the current residents?
So, we currently have dry sewers along Gloria.
Cammerdale.
No, we don't have so.
Oh, I'm sorry, just Gloria.
It's Gloria, the Amelia Park development, Rainier, Newha, that piece, and Brickwalk have dry sewers.
Okay.
They would be served first, and the reason they would be served first is because the most urgent need is to get sewers to Palmer.
Okay.
So, and it's a very, because there's no roads to cross, it's a very easy sewer to put in from Amelia Park to the pump station.
Yep.
It's low hanging. Your neighborhood, not such low hanging fruit because you have
everything's got to move up
there,
right?
And the sewer goes below all of that,
right?
So the sewer your neighborhood is going to be more expensive than the sewer Mealy Park because the dry sewers are already in that development,
right?
So it's a cost thing.
Okay, so I guess my question is, who's actually paying for our neighborhood if it gets through?
Just like his neighborhood is paying for his sewer. That's what they're
talking about. Who's actually doing it? Who's actually paying to have it done?
The hookup.
Who's paying?
The district would. The residents that are within the district. So, okay. Depending on how the district is created, would that would all come into play. But ultimately, the added debt to the district would be, if that was just an extension, that would be borne by X amount of units over cost.
Okay.
So whatever we had to do in that area, and that's why we said we would apply for grants, because this isn't just a sewer pipe with a gravity feed. These are grinder pumps. These right. are, you know, there are things that need to move the product right. to the pump station.
Right. Okay, so how many homes would that system support?
It's sized to sewer the whole Coles
group? If that thing got built, yep. how many homes are you
going to need? So the it's a 2,100 change
okay.
in units.
Units, okay.
Units. Based on a, this is at the board's direction, a maximum development density of 2 units per acre on the undeveloped portions of the Cold Springs Peninsula.
But we're still talking units, though.
We're still talking.
Yep. talking. So the math is, you're saying if it doesn't go through, which is $2,800?
$2,100
a year.
Dollar-wise. Oh, that wouldn't be your neighborhood. That's the neighborhoods that the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hold on, hear me out. So if you're saying it doesn't, if the development doesn't go through, but that treatment plant does, they're paying $2,800 a year? Is that correct?
If we built the sewer lines without the development in phase one.
If we didn't approve this, and there was not going to be any houses on Melvin Farms,
yep.
it would be $2,800.
So now we're going from 2,800 to, if it was built, Melvin Park.
Mm-hmm. 227.
227.
So yeah.
500 units.
With the fee, 660.
That much of a difference?
Yep. Yeah, when you think about the math of that, so there's 146 units existing. Mm-hmm. 146 divided into 537 is,
about three?
Yeah.
Right, a third?
Yeah, 3.4 or something. 3.5,
plus the cost of the pump station.
And we haven't really broken down like the Red Rock area to be able to give you. I don't think we did a number on phase two. You know what I mean? I think
not
what he's looking
itself.
For,
not
right?
By itself. I understand where you're going. I can get you that number.
Okay.
But it's really hypothetical right now, and it's going to be a really high number. And the goal
without Melvin Farms.
What's that?
Without the Melvin Farms development, it'll be high.
Even with Melvin.
Even with Melvin Farms, because of the added infrastructure that's needed to move the sewage.
So with that being said, there's also like when Collington Point was approved, the incentive zoning for Collington Point. I think we got $1,500 or $1,000 per lot that has been set aside to help sewer your neighborhood. So, and there's other incentive zoning parcels on the Cold Springs Peninsula that would be asked to contribute to help lower what the debt service cost is going to be for your neighborhood. So that's the concept of incentive zoning is, hey, we'll allow you to build more density than you would normally be allowed. In return for that, you need to provide benefits to the community.
Right.
The need on the Cold Springs Peninsula, where the majority of our incentive zoning land is to provide sewers for the existing residents.
Right.
So we would be looking for infill development, such as the Abbott parcel that's 68 acres or whatever that just sold between Melvin Farms and you. When that got developed, hey, pay the piper. These guys, you know, if they're going to put 300 units there, these guys provided benefits of about $2.2 million for 500. You're going to put 300 in. Yeah, we want $1 million from you to help sewer your neighbor. And I'm speaking hypothetically.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
We want $1 million towards what the cost to sewer the Red Rock neighborhood is as part of your project. Okay. So that's the long-term planning process that the town board and me as a town engineer have gone through in how we selected these incentive zoning parcels. It's to provide services, specifically on the Cold Springs Peninsula, of sewers.
Right, to the future and existing residents.
Right, I think we're all asking is that we're not put last.
No, you would, in the grand scheme, you're the second part.
Yeah,
my parents would be the last part on River Road because there ain't going to be enough units there to make us run that stretch.
Right.
So I don't want to even hear from her when she comes up. But that's the plan would be to follow in a counterclockwise motion, you know, because that's just logistically how it would, the easiest way to bring units online to the sewer system with distance.
With that being said, is when we start actually paying for it as residents?
Not until you're in it.
Until we're in it. So we're not going to pay for 2 years before we're going to have it.
Till the district gets created and all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed.
Until you're able to benefit from the sewer, you won't pay it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. My ignorance, by the way. Okay. So a couple questions. How much would it cost to actually run the sewer system to Timber Banks? They're building all those new houses right there next to it. You know, if we were to actually do it the other way, it seems closer in proximity.
We looked at it. It's actually cost more.
Give you the answer.
Well, the per district, per unit fee.
Right, the per unit fee is more.
So
per unit fee for the housing development that's there?
The per unit fee for the school district, because the school district pays for the units too.
Which means Town of Lysander's on the hook for 2/3 of that, roughly.
It's
actually more like 3/4.
Okay.
Because there's only 57 existing homes that would be served by that.
Okay.
Total. It's $1.99 million.
Okay.
So it's about $1 million cheaper, but you go from 57 units benefiting to 146 units benefiting.
Well, plus the 500.
Well, yes, but you see, that's how the debt service gets lower.
Sure. Totally understand. Now I've heard the idea, I heard you say earlier that it's a lower percentage of people who can afford the more expensive homes, but when you look at Timber Bank, you know, to this gentleman's point here, the 172 homes that are going in, or the potential of 172 homes going into that field, you know, what's the average cost of the ones that are going next to Timber Banks right now?
I think that 750 number is probably pretty close.
So they're probably selling at that. So there is a potential that $23,000 tax benefit that he was talking about.
I think it would be decades to construct it.
Even with Micron coming in.
Even with Micron coming in.
Okay.
Just because those are going to be good jobs, but $100,000 a year job doesn't buy a $750,000 house.
Okay. And what about
be realistic?
Well, what about the capacity issue? My understanding is that Timber Banks, or the owner of the Alberici's, if they don't get the ROI on their golf course there, Timber Banks, that he's going to make that into a development. Is that already zoned or coded for that?
It can't happen. It's actually a part of the agreement for the PUD.
Okay.
Yeah. That has to be remain open space as part of the community.
For X amount of years or?
Forever.
Yeah. There's more property going toward Patchett Road that could be developed.
Okay.
But that was discussed in 2004 when the project was first created, that the long pole plan would be to eventually develop toward Patchett Road.
Okay. So
the main sticking point back then was the residents on Patchett Road did not want an immediate egress to Patchett Road, that would be one of the last parts.
But how many houses are going in there next to Timber Banks?
So they're at like 390 units right now. I think they're total
of approved 540?
585.
Is there a better tax benefit for what they're doing versus what we would be doing?
Well, what's the zoning in Timber Banks?
PUD.
Right. So,
it's
what's
higher density than
well, give them an idea on the lot size, like R10, R.
Oh, they're the next
R15
coming on. They're like R12.5, so like 12,500 square foot lots to, we'll say, 17,000 square foot lots, 18,000 square foot lots, on average.
So we could reduce the amount of lots, though, and we could just do houses down there, is what you're saying?
The cost for the existing residents and the cost for the people that live there would be much higher.
Yeah. I don't think if you decided to go that path and put 250 to 300 homes in, that the developer would be putting up a couple million dollars, because now you're relying on lot sales, whereas this project would be relying on mostly rentals, continual income. You know, the average lot cost selling price in Timber Banks now is what, around 100, 85 to 100?
Over 100.
You know, for an empty lot.
Are we looking at potential tax benefits, or are we looking at what the developer is going to get in their pocket?
No, we're
working. Oh, no, no, this isn't, I understand what you're saying. In, you know, going back to that kind of development, this is going to be an HOA. They have already agreed that an HOA will run this, so just like Radisson, just like Timber Banks, there are going to be rules. I'm going to assume that the maintenance will be done by the HOA with what they're building.
Okay.
That you look at a $23,000 tax bill with a $750,000 home, it doesn't necessarily equate to what it's going to cover for the town or the community, you know, where that ends up. You
well,
know, that's
mainly what, I mean, the main reason this would get pushed through is basically just for this sewer system for the school of Palmer. Right?
Well, sewer,
I mean,
wouldn't
that's
say.
It seems like more of a.
No, I mean, you know, we did a $45,000. Yeah, I'll talk. Yeah. I'll get it. We did a $45,000 sewer study last year, and this is what opened my eyes up.
Yeah.
When we got a cost to sewer the peninsula, which has been a plan way before this board, and, you know, back into the 60s and 70s, you know, the cost is now $35 to $40 million. And you look at the cost of, it's not a question of when, or to me, it's, or if, it's when we will be told to have to do something in an area that I know cannot afford to take on that debt service that would be created. And then we're, the town or that area is paying for all of these improvements. And that goes back, you know, this goes back 20 years to four boards ago with TDR that incentive zoning took the place of, that was, you know, giving and receiving areas. And the peninsula was always destined to be developed
in
a town board or a planning board, you know, so incentive zoning gives us the opportunity to make an ask from a developer. If he came in and wanted to build 180 houses, mm-hmm. he'd come in for a zone change and all of this would be off the table.
But realistically, when you say we can't afford, or you're saying, I assume we, when I hear
the district residents,
correct.
In those sewer districts, without the additional infrastructure that would be built, that would be almost impossible to afford without some kind of huge help that, you know, we'd be talking about bonding, and you'd be bonding on things that you're repairing to make it affordable.
Even with bonding, you can't use money from the rest of the town to pay the cost
right.
of the sewer district improvement that only benefits the residents of that district. It's just against the law.
But realistically,
so
you're going to be...
All the cost gets put on the residents.
Sure.
So if you have to spend $40 million to sewer the peninsula, it's the people that live on the peninsula that would be paying that through your tax bills.
But realistically, we're probably going to end up having to pay more anyway because of our tax assessments that are going to increase based on the properties that are going in. So you're saying, hey, you can't afford sewer, but we're going to raise your assessments. By the time this is all said and done, we're going to send you a letter and you're going to have more taxes anyway.
You know, we have frozen assessment increases. You know,
for how long?
It's indefinite.
Indefinite.
It's indefinite right now because, for the most part, it's your school taxes that would be affected if we changed assessed values. I mean, for the most, outside of special district costs, you know, the cost, the actual total town cost that people pay.
Yep.
You know, the average home's paying about $600 a year to actual town costs. That's not special districts.
Sure.
You know, water, sewer, that. The cost of the sewer districts would be monumental.
What is monumental to you? I mean,
well, the number on that, just the first part,
like
$2,800 a year.
Okay.
Or more.
Huh?
Isn't that capped?
Well, that's where the state comes in, but if the state required us to sewer the bottom half of Hayes Road and we didn't have the, you know, $1.7 million pump station and the laterals already built, we'd have to build that. That would be part of that district cost. And then we'd be jumping, going, well, we got, well, as well, the people who have had dry sewers for 35 years, well, okay, then why don't we look at putting phase one and phase two together to help the phase two people to offset that cost? That, I don't think it would get through the state, but it wouldn't change the fact that if we did have, you know, something going into the river that it would still have to be remediated.
We're saying $2,800 a year, isn't that like worth a boat, you know, hearing from the people? I mean,
oh, this is
I can't speak for myself, but I can only speak for myself.
There would have to be a map plan, a report, and then there's how you create the district. There's a couple different ways that would not, even if this gets approved, the sewer district would still have to be created to go to Palmer. This isn't,
yeah,
this
no,
gets
I
approved, it goes
saying,
to Palmer.
I can speak for myself when I say, like, I would say, all right, $2,800, let's get the sewer to Palmer. You know, like, that's a town vote, you know, versus...
But it's not a town vote, it's the district vote.
I know, but that's what I'm just saying, in general, like, that, rather than having 500 homes, which I think the assessment of 800 people, 900 people is very low, when you think about that, you know, it's you're at a minimum 1,500, you're looking at two cars apiece. Sure, there's a traffic report, not that I'm going to buy it anyway. I've seen enough car accidents on Hayes Road myself and pull people out of them, so... It is what it is, you know. I thank you for your time. I just don't think that it's, you know, viable.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
I just like to say one thing.
You just got to come up to the microphone.
Okay. I grew up in Fairhaven, and we had septic tanks, and I remember one summer my family didn't get to go on vacation. Because we had a problem. And it was an unexpected problem. And it cost us a lot of money at the time. Back in the 60s, it was tough. And at the time, they were trying to get sewers in Fairhaven. And everybody said, no, I don't want anybody coming in. I don't want anybody doing that. Not here. Years later, my father-in-law had to pay almost $4,000 because the state forced them to do it. At the time, in the 60s, when they were talking about doing it, it would have, 90% of it would have been picked up by the state. I'm just going to put it this way. I lived in a house since 2003 with a drywall, and they promised sewers. Hasn't happened. It's frustrating. And it never gets cheaper. Nothing ever gets cheaper. You go to the grocery store, stuff doesn't get cheaper. So, you know, we're either going to have to do it and I'm 77, I'm not going to be around that long, but I would like to see grandchildren and children and people that live in our community have safe water, sewer, have everything. It would be nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Aww. My mother will probably argue with you over that one, but
not
that's
a mother.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Sure.
Just a quick question. What would the homeowners who have dry sewers, what would they have to do with their existing septic tanks?
So the decommissioning part of that would be on the homeowner. It varies in cost. I don't have any accurate numbers.
Not necessarily cost, but what is the procedure? You have to...
They pump the tank. They remove the lid of the tank, and they fill the tank with sand.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Then you would have to hook up to where the lateral.
Sure.
You know, your property part would have to be taken care of. I do know Mr. Colba stepped out. I know that Mr. Colba had a question, and I just wanted to verify that.
There's a couple.
Okay. Well, I just want to, I saw, I don't know if he left, but I wanted to, while I remember it. He'd asked, he's a resident on 370, and he'd asked me this morning if there was any plans for a lateral to go down 370 if the first phase was approved going east from Hayes and Hicks. I was wrong. At this current time, we don't have a plan in this phase to address the residents on 370 outside of the dry sewer systems. I just wanted to clear that up when he comes back out, or if he comes back out.
So I don't want to say that stating there's not a plan isn't necessarily accurate, but it would be in a future phase when the parcel on the east side of Hicks Road, between what has always been known as Papa Woods development that never got developed, basically those two fields that Abbott owns, when those got developed, they would provide sewers to that piece of 370 and that section of river up there. So there's a plan, but going to be a process, and it's going to take infill development to allow that to happen.
Right. So I just wanted, if there was any residents along 370, I just wanted to let you know that, and before I forgot. Is there anyone else who would like to? Oh, There was someone back there? Oh, yep.
Probably a very ignorant question, but let's consider the source. My name is Greg Stevens. I live on Gloria Drive. So, part of the group that has the dry sewers. You just mentioned the decommissioning process, and it may be, you know, crying my fortunate situation if the sewers come through based on the development, and you, is it a mandatory process within the town that one would have to hook up to that as part of the decommission to, why would anyone not want to do it? I don't know. We would assume it would be a benefit to the homeowner themselves, but there's also, in addition to the debt service that you'd be paying, there's obviously that additional cost to get tied in, and what is going on within each of the different people in the different areas.
Sure.
With their basements, or how are they hook up, what are the implications for having to change things and bear the cost to tie into it. Something we always wanted, and then it comes to fruition, careful what you wish for, now you gotta figure out how to do it.
The tangible cost.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, really hard to estimate. It all depends on how far your house is to the road. I know, like, the homes in Amelia Park, they actually ran the lateral from the main into the basement and capped it. I don't know. I've never been in any of the basements in Gloria Drive to say
it. Same situation.
They're capped.
They're been in the basement and capped.
Yeah, so if you've got a pipe already going to the basement to pump your septic tank and fill it with sand, you're looking at 1.5 10-wheeler loads of sand to fill in your septic tank at most. $1,000, you know, and then any interior plumbing work you need to do to redirect your pipe going to your septic tank, the pipe is capped. You know, so $500,000, $3,000. I mean, it's a ballpark.
Thank you.
I think your other question was, would you be responsible for the district costs once you're hooked up?
When you're in the district.
Regardless,
you have the ability to hook up. You're going to be charged the district costs,
right?
Even if you choose not to hook up, it's going on your tax bill.
The debt service will go on your tax
bill.
You won't pay the county treatment charge until you're hooked up.
Yeah.
With that being said, there is a law in the county's plumbing code that if sewers become available at your home, you're supposed to hook up. I've never seen the county enforce it, but there is a law in the books that says if sewer becomes available, you're supposed to hook up.
So you would, you know, depending on whatever the debt service is, if the district was created at that point, you would be responsible for the debt service to the
regardless
district.
Regardless of whether you're hooked up or not.
Correct.
Lawbreaker to not hook up.
Right, well, right, yeah, then the 450 or the 460 from the county that's annual to be in a, you know, working, you know, they're charging you the fee, that would fall in whenever the county decides to drop the hammer on that.
I've never heard of them enforcing that law.
No, me either.
As someone who spent far too much time inside their raised septic tank, going to the raised septic bed, it's wonderful to hear that it may benefit people with the dry sewers and others in the community that are in need of that. I do, just I guess to put it on record, I think that the addition of the traffic light, the additional traffic, I wonder what that does, not only to the sight lines. I know they've taken steps in the plans to try and mitigate that. The additional apartments, people that aren't necessarily contributing to the tax base the way that a traditional homeowner is, at least not in the same way. Maybe there's other ways that it benefits the community through expenses and adding jobs and things like that. I recognize all those different factors. But is it always the right thing to necessarily grow at the expense of an opportunity? Maybe caution is a good thing. You don't want to miss it. You know, hindsight's 20/20. If you have a chance that someone's willing to work with you and make something happen, it's great. But is it what the town, the village, and the surrounding areas, is it fit? Is it congruous? I mean, some of the views over by Timberbanks right now, it looks a little different than it used to, say, when my in-laws moved into River Road and it was cornfield surrounding. And it's changing awful fast. Maybe it's a case of keep up or get left in the dust, but I guess that's why we have to make tough decisions. Either way, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure.
It's kind of been mentioned before, but I just thought I'd ask the question, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself. My name is Paul Dorsey. I live in Holly Hill. I've been there for over 30 years. One of the still original owners of the property. Love the development, but, and I know the issue of traffic has been brought up before, but I don't know if any of you ever tried to get out of Shanagary at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you have Kellington Point looking at you, and you're trying to go on 370, and the sun is coming up on your right-hand side, and you're trying to go either left or right. The intersection is very difficult to navigate at certain times of the day, and my neighbor is with me here as well. I have gone out to at least 8 or 9 traffic accidents at that intersection. You have people who pass around on the white lane on the shoulder while people are trying to turn. I sent a letter to, I think it was Dinsmore, the traffic.
When he was highway superintendent?
I understand it's a state road, but my question is, sure. When you are going to do, when the study was done, is there any recommendation, was there any suggestion about the speed limit being lowered? I know we did it over on River Road.
We did a traffic study. We just actually put in a request for a traffic study.
From, I believe, yeah. Almost Hayes to the...
Yeah, because right. I feel, because I live in Abbott, right? I feel that 55 is too fast, right? When you come down, it should be past us all the way by the light. That's where the 55 is. So we did a traffic study. We put in for it. We won't get that back until, what, another year?
Well, they won't...
No, we'll probably get it back. They've actually turned around.
But they won't do the pumps until after school's in session.
But once school's in session, But we did a traffic study for that to address that issue. Because you're right, there are a lot of accidents
there. Because you've got to come to a stop.
Absolutely. And that people don't know which way to go.
Exactly.
If you get there, you're going straight, someone's coming the other way, and they're going to turn in front of you, regardless if they got there or not.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, I deal with that every day.
I appreciate you guys knowing. I appreciate the time to speak.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. And just to address that, and the traffic counts on the traffic study that was done in 2023, there was a nominal increase of traffic from this development going into the village. It's an estimate. They're estimating numbers, but, to continue traffic downstream toward the village.
But I gotta tell you, sometimes the numbers and the reality don't matter.
Oh, no. We all understand that. Absolutely.
It's gotten worse.
Yes. And because it's a state road, the state...
Right.
Determines what they would do for traffic or signals at that area.
Thank you.
Sure. Is there someone else that would like to speak? Anyone else? Sure.
Since we're talking about traffic, several times Abbott Farms has these special events. Last time they had a special event, across the line of Hayes and Hicks, they had cars on both sides of the road, all the way down. So now you've got all those cars, plus all the cars coming through, and if they're going to make a left turn to get into the apartment complex during that event, there's going to be problems. Now, I know that's more, Gavis has to get more parking.
I guess I would talk to the state about having no parking signs. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what that path is on a state road.
When you drive down, when you're on...
No, I know, but what event were you referring to?
I don't know. It was about a month ago. Strawberry Festival.
Strawberry Fest?
Yeah, the Strawberry Fest.
Because I know he puts out, but no one...
But they have cars parked on both sides, and each were all the way down to the light, maybe 10 feet from the actual intersection. And then they went past the light, continuing on Hayes.
Okay.
Now, I've not read your traffic study, but 2 years ago, they mentioned all the traffic on 370. Was the Hicks Road put in that traffic study? Because all the people parking in that complex are going to be going to 31 to do their shopping. So that's right on the pattern change some.
I do. I think with Micron and the increase in traffic on 31, I do think that people on the Cold Springs Peninsula will start to migrate east to John Glenn to 57.
Well, let's hope not. Lastly, the stormwater. There's a lot of impervious ground up there. All that stormwater looks like it's going down that stream at the bottom of Hayes Road. Hayes Road can then flood in these heavy storms. Has something been looked at in that?
So the developer will be required as part of their speedy construction permit to mitigate water quantity and water quality. Their peak runoff rate will not be allowed to exceed what their pre-development rate is for that open field.
Because I don't think that, I've been here 15 years and I don't think it's ever fully flooded, but it's gonna be close with all that extra stormwater from up the top of the hill.
Then there should be no increase in stormwater. Like I said, they'll develop a stormwater management plan with appropriately sized stormwater retention ponds.
We'll see. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there someone else?
I got kind of a weird question. If you say you have to hook up or pay anyway, well, I didn't hook up the water. I'm on a good spring that I hope doesn't get affected by them wells or pump stations and basements. I'm on Hayes. And now if I have to hook up the sewage, my understanding is you pay your water bill half again for sewage, right?
No, that's not the way it works. No. That's a village policy. It's not the way it works here. The town has leased their sewers to Onondaga County Water Environment Protection. You will only pay the county treatment charge in the town of Lysander. You'll pay no additional fee other than that service.
Okay, so there's no sewage amount you limited to?
No, it's part of the annual fee. That's on
great
the
question.
That's on the table.
I didn't know that.
All right,
thank you. No, that was I didn't either. Thank you. Is there anyone else willing to speak or that would like to speak?
Bob?
Seeing not no. No, she's fine right where she is. She's had this presence. She's just an observer. So If there's no one else willing to speak, we will close the public hearing at... we'll make a motion to close the public hearing. I was trying to read my phone. We'll make a motion to close the public hearing on Melvin Farms at 7:59 p.m.
I'll move that. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public hearing's adjourned. We'll take a couple minute recess here to let people leave if they want to leave. Unless everybody's involved wants to watch through the proposed code changes, stick around.
Hey, Mario.
Let's see. Okay. Mrs. Rowe.
Mrs. Rowe, before you get escorted out of the building.
No. Yeah. Oh, we got another public hearing. Okay.
Oh, we got another one?
Yes. So I would like to get a motion to open the proposed code updates public hearing at 8:08 p.m.
I'll move it. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'll open the public hearing. I just got to write my little notes down here and address everybody. Okay. The proposed code changes have been out there for about 3 months. Is there anybody that would like to speak on the proposed code changes? Seeing none. I will. Can I get a motion to close the public hearing on the proposed code changes at 8:09 p.m.?
I'm good.
8:09.
I'll set.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public hearing is closed. That was way faster than the first one.
Okay.
So, next item on the. I'm sorry. I was 90 Day Fiance on or something. I don't know.
Brother.
Citizens, next item on the agenda, citizens' comments. Would any of the three citizens like to make a comment?
The room got cold when they all left.
Jeez.
I concur. It is a little chilly.
Okay. Duly noted. Next item on the agenda, town board comments with Mr. Moore.
All right. Room did empty out. I feel a little bad because I wanted to thank everybody that was here. This was a good crowd of citizens who were really concerned about their community. And in my notes, I just wrote many new faces and high quality questions. It was really nice to have thoughtful dialogue with the community out there. So if you're out there watching this and you know someone who came to the meeting, I thank them for me, please. And thanks for watching. Thank you to those of you who stayed.
Diehards. They're diehards.
And aside from that, I'll move on.
In all the years I've been on the town board, since 2014, I've never attended a public hearing at the quality level that this one was tonight. So all those who are watching on PAC TV, this was fun to be in this room tonight. Every question was intelligent. Every question was asked respectfully. I was just so impressed with the quality of the citizens of the town of Lysander, and you made my day. Thank you.
And I'll echo what Mr. Drossi and Mr. Moore said. You know, I appreciate all the questions. They're great questions, and thank you for watching on PAC TV.
Okay, thank you all. Supervisors' comments. I don't have much to add other than we still have our summer hours until next Friday, Monday through Thursday. We're here 8:30 to 4:30. Friday, 8:30 to 1:30. They will end next Friday. We'll go back to our regular hours, 9 to 4:30. Tax bills. It's that time of year for school taxes. They will be mailed out on August 29th. We will start receiving taxes here at Town Hall on Tuesday, September 2nd. We have a drop box outside. When tax office window hours have not changed, they are still 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. But like I said, there's a drop box outside. You're free to drop it off overnight. Just remember on your tax bill, if you would like a receipt, to check the box that you'd like a receipt mailed back to you. The only other thing I have to add, Pop Warner is kicking off this weekend. Saturday evening at Lysander Park, they are doing the high school varsity team, I believe, is having a scrimmage. I'm not sure if the JV's coming or not, but they are doing a night to try to bridge that gap between the Pop Warner players and the varsity kids. So they're going to be running a scrimmage, having a practice. They're going to have food trucks. They're trying to make a big deal out of it. Come out to the park. Check out our newly chipped parking lots. And, play at the spray park if it's not 64 degrees, like it's suddenly turned. They can anyway. It's open till about 6 or 7 at night. And then on Sunday, there are Pop Warner games from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. So if you want to come out and watch right from the little flag kids right up to the 12-year-olds, come on out and enjoy it. You know, they'll have the lights going, and they'll be there till probably 8, 9 o'clock on Sunday. So feel free to stop out. That is all I had. Department heads. Town attorney.
Nothing at this time.
Okay. Town engineer. Town clerk. All set. Okay. Next up is the agenda items. First item on the agenda. I'd like to get a motion to accept the resignation of Annika Sermonaro as rec leader effective Friday, August 22nd, 2025.
I'll second that.
Discussion. Annika worked with us this summer. She's going on to other things. We thank her for her service and her time and her dedication to the parks this summer. We wish her well. All in favor?
Aye.
All yes. Motion carried. Motion B. I'd like to get a motion to appoint Carter Smith as rec leader effective Monday, August 25th, 2025.
I'll move it. I'll second that.
Discussion. As with the resignation of Annika, we are hiring someone. Just so for clarification, we had a hiring process that occurred in the spring. Annika was the one that got the job. Carter had also interviewed. Carter was available and more than willing to jump in and work for the town. So Carter will be starting on Monday, and we appreciate that. All in favor?
Aye.
All yes. Motion carried. Motion C. I'd like to get a motion to approve the special event license for the Annals Angels 5K.
I'll move that.
I'll second it.
Okay. Discussion. This is a run that has occurred over at Palmer School for the last few years, some tragic events. They have to go through the special event license with the Town of Lysander rules. I think it's the fifth or sixth year. It's a great event if you can go out and participate. All in favor?
Aye.
All yes? Aye. Motion carried. Could I get a motion? I don't have any other business, no executive sessions. Could I get a motion to adjourn the meeting at 8:15 p.m.?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Have a good Labor Day. We'll see you on September 4th.
Pete, when's the first day of school? The 5th or 6th?
Well, I gotta bring that.